Is your faith embedded in the promises of God's word?
When you begin to talk about faith, it really is all predicated upon your relationship with God. You have to have a strong relationship with God.
Do you seek God's vision, or do you seek the vision of the world? What does a faith-based vision look like? Does your obedience lead to faith?
There are some key things before it can be on display. Faith is bound in a relationship. So it's having that personal relationship with Christ.
The big question is this: will you obey God by following through with the vision he gave you?
You can't dip your toe in it and wash up. You got to get all the way in the tub and soak in that thing, man. You know what I mean?
When doubt creeps in, do you rely on your faith in God and his word?
Another key thing is prayer. That was a key thing in our faith walk is prayer.
Hebrews 11:1 says, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen." God wants to give us a greater vision of who he is and his plan for our life. Listen in to this discussion of faith through vision.
The Ear, Evangelical and Reformed Christian Podcast. Welcome to The Ear, the Evangelical and Reformed, a Christian podcast that urges you to think deeper and draws you closer to God through faith. Through powerful sermons, teaching segments, and discussions, The Ear hopes to give you a different perspective on secular topics from a Christian worldview. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Please welcome your host, Brandon Queen.
All right. Welcome to another episode from The Ear. Good morning, everybody. My name is Brandon Queen. And again, it is always a joy and a privilege to bring you quality content through discussion here on this podcast. It is my goal to bring Christian and biblical commentary on topics the secular realm often get wrong. So today, I have the privilege of having the owners of the bakery that is not too far from my house. And let's just say the pastries know how to touch my soul, if you know what I mean. So I have Miss Shiaki Brooks and Mr. Kevin Brooks with me. And I have known Kevin since I was 11. I'll just say that, since I was 11 years old. So Miss Shiaki and Mr. Brooks, go ahead and tell us about yourself.
Well, first of all, thank you, Mr. Brandon Queen, for having us on. I mean, it's certainly a privilege and an honorable, thing to do when you talk to me about it and coming on the show. I really felt like it was something that my wife and I would really enjoy doing. Like you say, you and I have known each other for a long time. We're personal. Maybe you want to say something, or you want to introduce yourself?
So, hello, Brandon. Thank you again for having us. As my husband just said, I'm Shiaki Brooks, and we together we are the owners of Chic Cakes and Confections located in Thibodaux. Prior to owning the bakery or in transition to being owners, I have been an educator for 15 years in the public school sector, as well as a degree auditor at our local college. So, it's a different world being in the bakery. So it is truly a faith journey, needless to say.
Yeah. So, and just to kind of piggyback off of her, I've been in law enforcement for 22 years, currently with the Lafourche Parish Sheriff's Office, school resource officer at Thibodaux High School. After been there for 5 years now. So being on patrol and being in investigations, just various sectors of law enforcement, felt that it was, time for me to go into the school system and kind of try to begin to address certain issues a different way, maybe begin to start talking to our kids. And it's certainly been a wonderful opportunity, and I'm very appreciative of it. I thank God every day for the opportunity to just be able to you know, instill something positive in especially the lives of a young person. So we always joke around about it. Well, my wife is was teaching at the time before she retired from it. 15 years she was in the school system, and I would always talk to her about just the opportunity of being off during the holiday season, and just, you know, the summer times and the hours. I thought it was all gravy until, you know, I became a school resource officer, and I firsthand knowledge of seeing exactly, you know, what our educators and school administrators deal with on a daily basis. And it's certainly challenging, but it's a great opportunity. And again, I'm really appreciative of it.
Awesome. I will say this, you know, I said it earlier, Kevin, I've been knowing him since I was 11 years old, pretty much a role model for me. And the reason, part of the reason why I'm a cop today is because of Kevin's.
Wow, just tell my, going on, tell my age, Brandon, go ahead.
Well, you know, he about 40.
Oh, thanks, 40. Yeah, I'm 40 years old. Thanks, guys. I appreciate it. Yeah. So, no. Yeah, I appreciate it though, man. And yeah, just growing up, Brandon, watching you and Miss Eunice Queen, you know, God, I love that woman. You know, it just was just to be able to be a part of the community and have the opportunity to sit and talk with her in times and see you as a young kid running around and doing your thing. And next thing you know, Brandon's a cop, and not just a cop, but an investigator, a really good investigator. So I'm really proud of you. Yeah. I'm very proud of you, man. And, you know, you took every opportunity that was, afforded to you, and God has really moved in your life, man. And I think it's a blessing. You're a blessing to me and to the community. And, you know, I'm really appreciative of you, man.
Oh, stop. All right. So that is the guest that we have today. And I tell you what, though, when Shiaki said that she was going to open up the bakery, I would say probably next to Kevin, I became one of her biggest supporters.
Wow.
And one, I have a love-hate relationship with sweets. I hate it because it makes me fat, but I love it because it, you know, it touches my soul in a sense. But I got to say, I am proud of Shiaki and the work she's put into this bakery.
Yeah, I am definitely proud of
her. And Kevin, I'm actually... You are the definition of what a man's supposed to be.
Wow.
As far as supporting your wife and, you know, taking care of business in a sense. Now, to segue into the first question, what is the meaning of faith to you guys?
I'll take this one first. The meaning of faith, basically, as the scripture says, it's the evidence of things not seen or the assurance of things not seen. It's basically, it's a vision in action, basically, is what faith is, and a reliance on God. It takes a true and strong reliance on just being directed by the promises of God. And basically, the faith is the belief in the promises of God and that he can do exceedingly abundantly above what we can ask. And it's a direct correlation with the biblical stance. And, well, I don't want to go too far before Kevin answers his part.
All right.
What is faith to you?
I mean, you pretty much covered most of everything. You know, it's the substance of things not seen and hopes for, you know, what's to come. So when you begin to talk about faith, it really is all predicated upon your relationship with God. You have to have a strong relationship with God in order for your faith walk to even happen. Mm-hmm. I mean, think about it. If you're not, you know, really in belief that God can actually do something for, grant you your business. I mean, she's been an owner since 2016 and just, you know, she's going to cover that, I'm sure, later on in the interview. But that's what faith is. I mean, she began baking in the kitchen, and then eventually we got a building outside and made that, you know, up to code and standard, you know, but she's had an LLC since 2016. Mm-hmm. So this all was not completely brand new to her when we decided to move into an actual storefront. But the faith has always been there, and her relationship and my relationship with Christ is extremely, you know, strong. So in order for your faith to even begin, you have to have a really, you know, good relationship with Christ, understand, you know, who God is and understand what God can do for you. And then, you know, your faith can actually, you know, become stronger, and you can understand what faith actually is from that point.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. So when we put faith into practice, okay, faith looks like this roller coaster. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you know, it's give and take.
Right.
All right. But when you put your faith on display for others to see, what is some things that y'all would tell the listeners that's kind of like a it could either be a crutch or it could be something that actually hinders in a sense when it comes to you.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. You said something key there. You said faith on display, and we kind of hit on it prior to giving our definition, a synopsis of what faith is to us. There are some key things before it can be on display. Faith is bound in a relationship. So it's having that personal relationship with Christ. And then you also mentioned, I mentioned faith in action. It's not, I can hope for it and I can believe it, but it becomes on display when an action is put behind it.
The works.
When the works are put behind it. And then when you are relying on the promises of God or recalling the promises of God in your faith, you know that with God, we can't fail. So if you're truly relying on, if your faith is rooted in Christ and the promises of Christ, being on display, it takes off the personal aspect of it, because you take yourself out of it and realize that through Christ, we can't fail.
Wow.
So it's not really about me personally. Like, this bakery is not about me personally. And initially it was a task for me to grasp of, because I was supposed to teach for 30 years, by the way. That was my plan. I was going to teach for 30 years. I was going to retire as a principal and drive a Mercedes.
Yeah, like Mercedes. So,
like the teachers that, you know, taught me and the principals.
Yeah.
You know, like, I had a whole vision. Like, this was the plan. You know, I was going to be that lady. You know,
yeah.
I don't know. It was the vision that I had. But
Devin's driving Miss Daisy, right?
Right. I mean, I can still have it, but that was the moment. Like, when I arrived, that was my, you know, arrival moment. When it came close to retirement, that's, you know, I was going to be that lady. But God saw otherwise. And so I can believe, and we can, you know, make plans and things for ourselves. But having faith in action requires us to sometimes die to ourselves and the plans that we have for ourselves, and truly embody who Christ sees us as and the vision he gives us. So, faith on display, and I mean, that's kind of twofold, because are you truly just displaying your faith and belief in what you want for yourself or what you're called to do? That's a difference. And even as an educator, like both my husband, he mentioned about his service as, you know, in the school system and in law enforcement for 20 plus years. And as an educator, like, we knew we weren't going to become rich as teachers and, you know, police officers, but that was never the plan. It's always been to serve.
Yes.
So my thing in this faith walk initially, when the Holy Spirit said, okay, move towards this bakery thing. And I'm like, okay, Lord, how am I serving God making cakes?
Okay, don't
how
go too far. Don't go too far.
Okay, I don't want to go too far. But, all right. But that's where a faith on display,
yeah.
It becomes less about me and more about the calling.
Well, and then just to touch on the faith on display, look at it as, you know, just to give some advice to people who are thinking about going forward with their vision. And because everyone's talented, everyone has some form of talent.
Mm-hmm.
But the issue we have, and I think, Brandon, you mentioned the terminology, the faith in terms of a roller coaster. That's because people are not fully committing to that vision. And fully committing to having that relationship with Christ, it's too much back and forth. You can't be lukewarm with it. You can't dip your toe in it and wash up. You got to get all the way in the tub and soaking that thing, man. You know what I mean?
But with some effort.
You have to get in, you have to submerge your body into Christ. You know what I'm saying? And so that's where the roller coaster, because you're up and you're down, you're up and you're down. And to understand, you're going to have trials and tribulations. Dude, everybody's going to have trials and tribulations. But when your faith and your trust in God is so strong, you don't even feel it. Right now, we're going through something right now, but guess what? We don't even feel it. It's like we know it's just going to pass. I mean, you know, eventually.
It's a trust. It's more of, it's, like you said, it's a trust thing.
Yeah.
So, you know, we don't know how deep the water is or how far this thing will take us, but we know that we'll be able to walk it through because we trust.
Right. So faith, all right, because you trust in God, all right, and your faith lies in God, all right. Because of your faith leads you to obedience.
Yeah,
exactly. That's
the key word.
We actually taught on that for Bible study. We did Bible study about 3 weeks ago, and we actually taught on relationships with God, and it all just goes back to your obedience,
right?
Yeah. And understanding it when God gives you an assignment to do something, and when God gives you a vision, a lot of times it's not just if you want to do it, it's an actual order to do it.
Right.
And so if you're not, then you actually are being disobedient.
Right. Yes. So that faith leads to obedience. And because of that obedience, that leads you to a vision.
Correct.
Okay. And when you're looking at the three of them tied together, and I see God working always in threes. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. So when you're following, you know, if you're being faithful and your faithfulness is leading to the obedience and you're being obedient, and then you're turning around and you're actually carrying out the assignment that God's given you.
Right.
You are now, in a sense, being that actual disciple Christ called you to be.
There you go.
In a sense. All right. So, and yeah, this whole series is about faith.
Right.
All right. And everything we're talking about is about faith. So how has your faith, and this is for both of y'all, how has your faith as a married couple benefits your life today and possibly the life of others?
But see, first of all, people have to understand a marriage is nothing more than just the covenant of Christ. There's a covenant that you have with Christ when you're married, okay? So those are vows that you're taking. My wife and I have been together for 26 years. We've been married for 21. Coming up on 22. Gotcha. About to make have a shout out to us. We're about to have an anniversary January 20th. Gonna be 22 years. Amen. So
21. Yeah,
22. Wow.
Okay, a long time.
Wow. 22 years, Brandon. So we're coming up on 22 years of marriage. And what I try and explain to people in terms of faith in marriage, you have to love the person that you're with. I mean, that's a given. Then you have to understand that the person that you're with, God has put that person in your life, and you have to have faith and trust and belief that God has put that person in your life for you and only you. So when you begin to talk about faith and marriages, the marriage part of it is the covenant. Of course, we respect that because those are vows that you made in front of Christ. And that, you know, love, respect, honor, you know, cherish all of those good things. But you have to also realize that the relationship that you have with God is very important on your marriage. See, people, you know, we also do marriage counseling as well at our church. So and we try and premarital counseling also. And we try and explain to young people that a lot of times you're with somebody, God has not put that person in your life, because and then we begin to make it about us, and we begin to force that and forcing it. And so therefore, there's no trust in God. There's no relationship with God. There's no faith in the person that you're with. I have complete faith in Shiaki Brooks because I know that God put her in my life for me and me only. So therefore, the faith is extremely strong. Y'all can't see her, but she rubbing on my shoulder.
All right now.
Yeah, she rubbing on my shoulder now. But that's, you know, and again, we make it fun. we make it enjoyable, man. You know, just, you know, we take adventures together, man. And that's all life has been with us. Also, just a big adventure, you know, with the raising of our children. Our youngest child is 17 and he's graduating from high school. Our oldest kid is 24 and he's graduating from college.
Kyron's 24?
Yes, Kyron's.
Yeah, he'll be 24 actually in a couple of weeks.
In a couple of weeks, okay. He'll be 24.
Still.
But he's graduating from college.
Yeah.
So the thing is that all of that is a part of understanding that when God puts someone in your life, you know, you have to understand that that's a part of your faith walk.
Yeah.
That person has been put there for a reason. And a lot of times you may not see that because that's a vision also.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times you may not see it. So therefore, you're being disobedient to what God wants you to do, because the person that a lot of times the person you with right now is not the person you're supposed to be with.
I mean, amen to that.
You know, I'm just saying, you know, not to embarrass anybody or I'm definitely not throwing shots at anybody. So and all the listeners understand, if we've ever counseled you, we're not throwing shots at anybody. We're just strictly speaking off of the question.
And I think that's kind of that you receive signs and, you know, indications of this prior to the actual marriage. But like I said before, it's like, are you working out your own faith of what you see for yourself or what you've been called to? So I think that's where that kind of play part in those relationships. But I'm going to stick to the question on how our marriage, the faith has played a part in our marriage. We were kids when we got married. Like, yeah. We were really young. Yeah. So just the, you know, immaturity, the lack of just everything. We were just so young. So faith in that, what God showing me, the man that he was to become. And, you know, that really just keeping sight on who he was in Christ. And the growth and development through the years, he is that person, you know?
Yeah.
So the faith and believe. And another key thing is prayer.
Amen.
That was a key thing in our faith walk is prayer.
A lot of prayer.
It's a key in this. What you see is prayer. You know, that is a main component of our faith walk. And our marriage is built on, you know, that foundation. That's what I think has really helped, has benefited our life today.
Right.
So in keeping God first in our Amen. Marriage.
Y'all hit a lot of points too on like biblical marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And the world today lacks that tremendously.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes.
I mean, I was in a, never mind.
speak on it, brother.
For another episode.
It, not sure if they still listen, but, my biggest thing is when I date someone, I tend to look for someone that actually is either stronger in their faith than I am,
mm-hmm.
or can match the caliber of faith I have.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I understand that God often puts people in your life to where you have to be that counselor for them or they're, you know, vice versa. But there are some things I won't tolerate, and that's a lack of faith in God. And obviously that faith that's not put on display like it should be.
Mm-hmm.
And then like watching you two for the past 4 years, to be exact, has been a blessing to me because it's like, okay, I want a marriage like that,
mm-hmm.
you know, and if I can get a marriage that sticks mm-hmm. and that's God-centered and God's the foundation, God's the support, God's the covering,
yeah.
then that's the kind of marriage I want.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's encouraging for me. Now, we're going to discuss our belief in God real quick, and I want this to be brief, and it should be brief. Mm-hmm. Obviously, it's based on faith. Something we can't see, but it's the facts that we already have. We know right. Christ came and died for us.
Right.
We know God gave us his only begotten son, the only son he has. And we also know that God adopted us. And because of his adoption through Jesus Christ, you know, Christ came and Christ died for us. And we're sinners. We're not perfect, but we're perfect in Christ. So what does your belief look like in God?
Wow.
Individually?
Well, I mean, like I said, going back to 22 years of being in my career in law enforcement and, you know, 26 years of being with my wife and, you know, it's just you have to first of all, really believe And this is what I said this one day, and Shiaki kind of looked at me funny. I said, everybody knows God, but everybody does not have a relationship with God.
Amen.
And the relationship with God is so important because it builds, you know, your background. It builds your character. It builds who you are as a person. I was born into Christ. I was born into the religion. You know, my mom and dad are both ministers. You know, my dad passed away in 2018. And he actually passed away preaching, praying for somebody. As he passed away, that's a story I have to really tell you some other time, but it's a phenomenal story. He actually prayed for a lady and he passed away like 2 minutes later. Like, gone.
I'm sorry, but that's the perfect
like,
way to
like,
go.
Like, I'm talking about you couldn't do CPR on him. Nothing. He was out of here. Like, that was literally his last thing he had to do was pray for this woman and her husband. So, with that being said, I was actually born, just to give you an idea, I was born into the ministry, but I did not have a relationship with God. I know that sounds really crazy, but it happens more often than not that you go to church every Sunday. You go to church 3 and 4 times a week, and you think that, hey, you know, my dad's a minister, my mom's a minister, my sister's a minister, my brother-in-law's a minister, and all these. But you don't even have a relationship with God yourself. So it's really important that you understand that having a relationship with God for yourself, because no one else can determine what your relationship, Brandon Queen, is with God. No one can determine what Shiaki or Kevin's relationship. We, even though we've been married and we love each other, I'm telling you, our relationships with God are totally different. What the way I go to God is not the way she goes to God. And what God, the way he speaks to my heart, he doesn't speak to her heart that way. So that's what it's important, just to be able to have that relationship with God, because it's going to build your background. It's going to build your character. You got to get very, very personal with him for you to really get what he has for you. Yeah. You know, it's really a simple thing, but complex at the same time, you know, if you kind of understand it.
And when it comes to me, I did not grow up in the
No
church background.
No,
not really. It was different. You know, I was the child of a single parent. At the time, I did have a stepfather later on. My biological father did 25 years in prison. I saw him every now and then. And so I'm saying all that to say that those things play a part in who you become to some. But it's always been a knowing of God, even when I couldn't name it and I didn't know all the verses and all that. It's always been a knowing, like I've always felt his presence, mm-hmm. even when I didn't realize it. But now that I look back, I'm like, oh, God, that was you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's always been my belief in God. It's kind of been an innate thing. Like it's just, I know that I was chosen for something bigger than me. And then just the relationship that's developed over time. And I've, as far as I can remember, I've had a prayer life, you know, just trusting and believing in God. And as I grew older and did develop a stronger relationship that I can say, okay, this is God, I'm going to God, you know, with this, it just developed a stronger relationship. Just, and I know he saved me. I know that he chose us before, you know,
come on, sis.
We were formed in God's womb. And so relying and knowing on that when you look at the big picture, and you look at purpose and intent, and I know it kind of puts things into perspective for you, you know, when you know you're not your own.
Right, 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 right. Right. So you touched up on something that I got to preach for a minute.
Okay.
All right. So God chose us in the beginning. Mm-hmm. All right. And I'm going to get a little nerdy here with some words. Genesis 1:26 states, and actually, let me pull up Genesis 1:26 for me.
Yep.
And when you get that, say word. Actually, hand me the phone, because I don't want to get it wrong. I know verse 26 and 27 are different but identical. And you'll see what I'm talking about when I actually break it down for you.
Wait, you are?
Oh, you have an actual Bible?
But she has that Bible app.
Bible app.
Yeah. That is the one thing I didn't pack today. confession.
You can just read it right here.
All right.
You got it.
All right, verse 26. Chapter 1, verse 26 says, "And God said, let us make man in our own image." Okay, when you're looking at the word "let us" and you say God, that phrase is Elohim. Mm-hmm. And that is the plural for the singular God. All right, so keep that in mind. Verse 27 follows up by saying,
you just type in 27. Yeah,
so God.
So God created man in his own image. Mm-hmm. So people will call that a contradiction. Mm-hmm. How can you say us in one verse and then say him in another verse? Mm-hmm. So Elohim is the creator God. All right. So when you're looking at it, that tells you that Jesus Christ was in the beginning from Genesis 1
right.
all the way to Revelation. Mm-hmm. Okay. So when you never had a relationship with God when you were younger, right, Shiaki? Okay. But God chose you. And I heard this phrase that said, God can choose whoever he chooses and he can damn whoever he damn well pleases.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. But when you're chosen, there's always going to be that nagging at the heart, that pulling at the heart.
Yes.
You know, Shiaki, you belong to God. Therefore, he's going to constantly pull you. Now, the funny thing is you can ignore it all you want. God will say, I'll get her. Next thing you know it, you, this person married to this, you know, Bible believing Christian man right here. And now you do the same. And now your kids are also following suit.
Yes.
Okay. So when God calls, there's nothing you can do to change that calling. You can ignore it. You can go 25 years and go the opposite way, but God's going to actually bring you back in no matter what you think or do.
Right.
True.
All right. So, you know, when we discuss God, God in and of itself is complex.
Exactly.
But he is constantly revealing himself to us every single day.
I think in James, what is 4? James 4.
James chapter 4.
You know, and it will tell you that if you see Christ, he will reveal himself to you. You know, God will reveal himself to anybody.
Yes.
You know, you do have to make that step towards him.
Right.
That's where the relationship becomes important. You know, because if you're not seeking Christ, then he can reveal himself if he wants.
Right.
But I mean, it states it. I mean, read James chapter 4 to tell you that, you know, that's why it's so important to when we say relationship. Relationship also means to seek,
yes,
and to sought out.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Right. So that terminology is important when we say relationship.
Right.
It's to actually seek out. So if you're not seeking out, like you just said, he may or may not reveal himself to you.
Right. Or he is and you're not looking.
Yeah.
You know, because you want to stay in your rebellious ways.
Right. Exactly.
You know, and that actually brings up my point. Okay. So if we're made in God's image, all right, my vision of how Kevin looks, it's actually different for the vision God has for
exactly.
you.
Exactly.
Okay, because you and I are made in God's image, the Imago Dei. Mm-hmm. Okay, you're made in God's image. All right, we're all brothers and sisters in Christ, and it sounds weird because you two are married, mm-hmm. you know, but we're all in this family. We're the bridegroom of Christ.
Wow.
Yes. All right, so when that vision of how the church should look,
right,
it's actually in a married couple.
Yeah.
Okay, because God is the one that constituted marriage mm-hmm. with Adam and Eve. Okay, that's why when the pastor says, you know, no one can separate y'all,
yeah,
because you're in Christ. Mm-hmm. All right. So now I want to switch into this whole vision thing, and I want to talk about it in creativity and baking, Shiaki. This one's mainly for you, and I'm gonna try to word this question to where it's simple. Okay. How do you see God in your baking?
How do I see God in my baking?
Well, you about to get an earful.
I can tell you.
You put your seatbelt on because you're about to get it.
I can tell you that, and it's the key you say there was vision because just like a potter can see the pot in a puddle of clay, I kind of see eggs, flour, and sugar the same, you know, when it comes, and I'm very creative. In this baking thing, in the journey to it, I realized in the journey to the bakery, I have been able to use a lot of the skills that I've used, and I say in my previous life.
Whoa.
In my teaching career, in my former life. Yeah. As a teacher, and then I'm just artistic. I'm creative. I mean, it's another gift. I believe that I have many gifts that have been given. I'm artistic, so I can see several layers of cake and sculpt it into something, you know? So it's just a gift from God.
Yeah.
No other explanation for it. But how do I seek God, like, realistically? Just like when I used to walk into my classrooms in the morning, I would go early and my prayer would be, God, show me so that I can show them. Tell me so I can tell them. Teach me so I can teach them. The same thing when I walk in the bakery, and you live not far from here. Maybe you see me in here some mornings at 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning. And the first thing I do, I don't even turn the lights on. I actually pray. Like, yeah. God, because one thing, and going back to what I said before, like, God, how can I serve you with cakes and cookies? Like, it took me a while to grasp that. But since we've been open nearly 6 months now, there have been people who come in because they've had a stressful day. Yeah. And we hide our feelings in food, and desserts are the go-to thing. There are people who have came into the bakery, like, after the storm. They've lost a loved one.
Yeah.
This past week, there were several people who came in. I just got back from MD Anderson, bringing my son, and I have to go back every week. And, like, people share their stories. And as soon as you walk through our doors, it's, hi, how are you doing? You know, I make sure you hear me, even if I'm in the back, because I want everybody to display Christ, I guess. That's my thing. Like, I want to show God in my everyday interactions with people.
You're supposed to.
So, and to ensure, like, when you come in here, I want you to know you're seen. I want you to know you're heard. Even though I'm like, okay, Lord, what do I say to this sometimes? But I want you to be able to get it off your chest if you need to. You know, and I just give you an encouraging word, or just say something polite or nice. So my day starts by going to Christ, by going in prayer. Yeah. And not just going in prayer, oh, Lord, I need this. We need this. Help me do this. I'm asking for creativity, innovation, just quality, because everybody deserves the best, right. I feel, to being able to produce quality items for people. And just to be able to show Christ, just to be kind, just to, for a moment, if it's their moment walking in, making their purchases and walking out, but just people remember how you make them feel.
Well, I mean, I just want to say that when you walk through the bakery's doors, through the sheet cakes and confection, you've met Pastor Jay, Jeanine Escort. That's our pastor, and she's in here, and Apostle Escort's in here, her husband. So these people are phenomenal. They're constant in constant prayer. And a lot of times what people actually are experiencing is the anointing when they walk through the doors. They don't know what it is, but that's what it is. So what Shiaki's saying, that there have been people that have come in here that are stressed out, that are, one lady came in and was talking about suicide stuff, and these, you know, my wife and Pastor Jay, shout out to Pastor Jay. They have actually just sat and listened. Yeah. Shiaki made a comment and said, Kevin, people come in and I don't really know what to say. But as I'm listening to them, you could see how the transformation in them. I said, well, baby, that's your purpose right there. Sometimes people just need you to listen.
Yeah.
Sometimes people just need to be heard. Like you just said, you want people to feel a certain way and to feel that, hey, you're important when you walk through these doors,
mm-hmm.
you know? So I used a word one day to describe the bakery, and it was idiosyncratic. So the word idiosyncratic, you know, it means to be peculiar. So I said the bakery has this idiosyncratic vibe to it. And she said, oh, wow. She said, I like that. So, and truthfully, that's what it is. It has a really peculiar fear, but it's the anointing that these people bring, that my wife and Pastor Jay and Apostle, yeah. that these people, when they act from constant prayer and their relationships with God, they actually, and I sit back and I watch her. I watch her in terms of her creativity and her artistic nature and her background. She's an outstanding artist. She can draw anything. As you're sitting here with your headphones on,
yeah,
she can draw you. And she takes that. And I just complimented her not long ago on, I was just sitting watching her. And she has this big pile of stuff in front of her. Eggs, flour, sugar, you know, all your stuff that you knew. I don't know anything about baking.
Me either.
All of her ingredients. I walk out of the doors, through those swinging doors. I come maybe go put out the trash or, you know, come greet some customers or whatever. I come back 30 minutes later and she has this beautiful piece of art that's edible that's just sitting there. And I'm like, and I'm just looking at her and she's just working and she's just doing it and just doing it. And I'm thinking to myself, like, my God, this is just, I'm looking at like talent flow right there.
Just think about
idiosyncratic. That's the word for her. That's her word.
So that's God.
Yeah.
Okay. So like God is the ultimate creator, right?
Yes.
All right. So he literally, when people say there is not a God, I cringe.
Cringe. Wow.
Okay. I cringe because every single, you look different from me.
Mm-hmm.
I look different from Shiaki. We look different from my video guy. Okay. God created each person individually.
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
And the simple fact that our organs literally work like a computer.
Mm-hmm.
So when you take God and you take an individual, so God made you an artist, Shiaki.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to have that creative mind to actually design and, you know, sculpt something. Your art is talking to people.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. My art is running my mouth. All right. That's part of the reason why I started a podcast. I like talking to people. I like getting information out to give it out to other people. Each of us have our own gift.
Yes.
In a certain way. We're all touched and blessed by God in those gifts that we have. So that's powerful.
Yeah.
Now, Shiaki, don't get mad at me, but this next one's for you too. And Kevin can answer after. How does vision coexist with faith?
Ooh, wow, that's good. Faith, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen.
Mm-hmm.
So, vision. Well, let me just say this with the prophetic conference or whatever.
Yeah,
a prophet,
right.
Actually several prophets.
Several.
Basically spoke into our life and I'd never met them before. And they literally saw God revealed to them the bakery and revealed to them. Actually, one of them said, I see your name in lights. And this was prior to the bakery actually coming into fruition. And then recalling what God told me before I actually, you know, just the Holy Spirit led me to prior to me leaving teaching and taking the leap of faith. Like God gave me the vision of what I needed to do. Actually, a lot of the things that we produce in the bakery now were recipes, ideas, and things that were given to me prior to opening the bakery.
Wow.
Like our ginger cake recipe, which is really
my favorite.
Our ginger cake recipe.
Wow.
And I said, it's totally from God because I think the bakery in Napoleonville has been closed 20 years.
Ooh. Oh, no, Jesus.
Is it 20?
Oh, no, sweetheart. Long. I think we were not long out of high school.
Well, they said the baker never wrote his recipe down.
Really?
Yeah. The Napoleonville baker.
Some of his family members have been in here. They say he never wrote the recipe down.
And they've told her.
And our apostle kept telling me, okay, make this, make this, make this. And I'm like, oh my goodness, why does he want me to make these things? And I had the recipe, like I figured out the recipe, but I never made it. And the first time I made it and just took a picture of it, like we had people lined up. There were people lined up to get, and it's been like a huge hit. And they say they taste just like the closest they've had since the Napoleonville Bakery.
Yeah.
He never wrote the recipe down. Just little things like that. Like God makes provision for the vision that he's given you.
Wow.
And it's all based on the faith walk. So it's a direct correlation. It's, you know, like I can't have one without the other.
Right.
All right.
And I keep saying it's not the vision that I have for myself, but the vision that God has for me, the one that God has given. He makes provisions for it, for that vision. When you're in alignment, you know?
That's good. That's good.
And you see, a lot of people, you get some people that'll say, God needs me.
Mm-hmm.
He'll find somebody else.
And it's like, God does what? Boy, God don't need you.
Boy, what?
He'll choose another.
God doesn't need you, but because you're his, he chooses you to do the thing that he wants you to do. Or, you know, this bakery, I'm going to be honest, Shiaki. Yes, I live a few feet away from here. I've gained a few pounds and I lost it walking here to get the sweets or whatever. But this bakery is good for this community.
Yes.
Okay. Yes. So if you would have said no to this, somebody else is going to take this.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay. But God chose Shiaki Brooks to do that.
Yes.
You know, so your faith does coexist with the vision because it's the vision from God.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And it just so happened that you love baking. There it is.
Awesome.
Yes, yes, that is it.
Now, let's talk about, you know, are you actively seeking God's vision for the bakery or even other areas in your life? And Kevin, you can jump in on this one too.
Okay.
Absolutely. I'm actively seeking God's vision for the bakery. And this is also something that I do on a daily basis or do my best to do on a daily basis. I'm a part of this group on Clubhouse. Uh-huh. Prophetic Planning for Your Day.
Haven't gotten on Clubhouse yet.
Yeah. Prophetic Planning for Your Day is really good. Like, I started journaling and I've been doing this for years. Like, I'll get an idea or I'll see a vision or, you know, just have a knowing of something and I'll write it down. The problem was I had many little notebooks, tablets, post-its here, there, everywhere.
Yeah, stuff, everywhere. All over the bedroom.
But over the past...
All over the walls.
Leave alone.
Because I everywhere.
Over the past, like in this transition, like it all came together and the Holy Spirit say, okay, you need it in one place. And so I began to keep a single journal, write everything in a single place. And it's ironic that a lot of the things that are given are basically like stepping stones to running this place. Like if I go back and look at the ideas, and I think it's, I wouldn't even say it's my ideas, but a download from God. Like, I know that sounds like, you know,
no, I mean,
out there, but it's truly is what it is. Like, if I go back and look, it's basically the blueprint to what I need to do here on, you know, following out. Given the strategy, I would say the kingdom strategy that's given, because I know that this is bigger than me. This bakery is bigger than me. And in saying all that, I totally forgot what you asked me, I'm just talking. Well,
and I know you, and listen, nice. I knew she was.
But that happens.
But I'm prepared. I was about to jump in. I got you. You know I got your back. But actively seeking God.
Yes.
You know, but listen, and this is what I wanted to touch on, that because I do her finances, the financial stuff, and I kind of, like I said, I don't do it baking, but I get, and I kind of, you know, let her know what we're doing from month to month, week to week, even day to day. So every minimum goal we've set out for when we first started, we've smashed them.
Well, let me borrow 20.
Yeah, you got that. You got that. But listen, every goal, and what I noticed was, and I brought this to her attention, where some months, boom, we peeking out, and then some months we'll come down, and then other months we'll go, where she had to realize that those times where we kind of come down some, that word download she uses, God has to download that information into you, because your relationship has to be strong with Christ for him to, because see, you cannot constantly just stay up there. You have to come down, get some more information. So when I notice when we peek out, it comes down. The next week, now she wants to talk. So the next month, or say maybe a couple of weeks after, it goes above the first peak.
Yeah.
So it keeps, when God downloads her, that downtime is actually downtime for you to rest. And then the next month, boom, you're going up. So that downtime, she's actively seeking Christ and keeping her relationship strong, during that time. But go ahead. I told you I had your back.
Because I don't want to forget. But thank you very much.
I told you I had your back.
And this is how it's always been. Let me just add this. In saying the vision and the faith walk and our relationship, for you know, my relationship with Christ and his relationship with Christ are totally different. And I'm kind of like off script. But when God began to give me the vision of, okay, we're going to have this bakery and this is how you're going to do it and you need to leave teaching. I'm like, what, Lord?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, you. Like, what, Lord?
How much? Really? Okay. So much? if this is what you're saying, Lord, I'm going to know I hear you, but yeah. I want to make sure that I hear you and I'm going to know that I hear you because when you tell him, I know it's time. And I kid you not, God heard me. And Kevin, he came to me and told me, okay, it's time for you to leave.
Yeah.
Okay, this is what I see. And I'm like, okay, Lord.
Yeah.
See, you got to be careful what you ask for. You know.
Because see, the thing is, what she's actually saying was, God had already shown her the vision of what she's seeing.
Right yes.
Now. We were not on the same page with that. Like I said, my relationship with Christ is different. God hadn't revealed it to me just yet. So once he revealed it to me, because I'm very obedient. When God tell me to move, I know what disobedience leads to, by the way. You can cost you your life if you don't move when God tell you to move. Yeah. So when God showed me the vision, immediately I said, okay, we started riding around one day and we would pull up to different buildings and different locations. And she was wondering, like, what is he doing? So we looking for a spot? So she getting happy now. She's starting to smile, right? So we pulled up, I never forget, right here, 1615 St. Mary. And we looked at this spot and, you know, we looked and we prayed a little bit on it. That's how we normally do. I normally send that prayer, like you say, like the boys in the jail back there, you send a kite. I send a kite up. We send that kite up to God. I tell you, God answered that kite, bro. Listen, when he came back with it, and it came in the form of that prophetic conference that she was talking about. We was at this prophetic conference. And dude, when I tell you, just like it hit me, almost like literally knocked me over. I said, oh, okay, yeah, it's time. It's time for us to move. And you need to shut that down. Shut Nichols down. Shut it. Look, no, not. Some people was like, well, is she going to keep her job at Nichols? Because she's a director over there, and I know she's... No. She walked away from a director's job over there. So just...
Yeah. And I remember, I kid you not, I usually walk to Cajun Potato. Mm-hmm. I'm starting to look like a busted potato, but I usually walk to Cajun
You're
Potato.
Good, man.
And I literally saw her walking out of here. And I'm like, Shiaki, what you doing? She's like, oh, I haven't told nobody. She's got a big old smile from ear to ear.
So
I'm Brandon opening up a bakery. And I'm like,
yes.
Wait, you opening up a bakery?
But let me tell you what I was doing that day. I saw you. I was here. There was nothing here, but I was praying.
Yeah.
I was here praying. We'd gotten the keys, and every day I came and just prayed. And I mean, there are a lot of unknowns.
The framework of these walls?
I had never worked in a food service business prior.
Tell them about the framework of these walls.
Some people who follow me on social media, I did post that the frame, as we begin to put them up, like the scriptures that God had given me from my journals, I placed in the framework. I mean, it's truly built on the foundation of God.
I love it.
Like every, like the counters, the walls.
Yeah.
There's actually scriptures written on the studs of the walls.
Man. Yeah. And I tell everyone, even the customers, like I don't hesitate to share that this is a faith walk. This is a faith walk. Like, this is my faith on display to inspire someone else. Or just, I mean, if God can do it for me, he can do it for anyone. But it's an act of obedience and it's an act of trusting. And when you get so used to walking in obedience and walking in faith and trust, like you literally.
Actively seeking Christ, man.
Yeah,
you just got to continue.
Actively seek Christ.
Full circle.
You got to keep it going.
And that's why it's a daily prayer. It's a daily. It's a dependency. That's the word I wanted. It's a dependency.
Yeah.
And what he was saying, like sometimes when we're up, and I wouldn't say we're down, but it's just like, okay, there's something I need, something else that I need to hear right now. So there are still moments.
But down is not necessarily a bad thing.
There are still moments when
people have to understand that.
Yeah.
You know, when you say you're down, you're not technically laying down and down and out.
Yeah.
And God has to give you some time to meditate to where he can continuously, like you say, your word again, download information into you.
You know, I got a quick question. You know, we got these tablets nowadays and everything. We've had tablets for a very long time. You know, God downloaded the first set of stuff to Moses, you know?
Absolutely.
The Ten Commandments was downloaded on a tablet.
On a tablet, right, right. Yeah, yeah.
No, absolutely.
But this is something that I think I've told y'all this before. I've always said that y'all inspired me, okay? I'm big on education, and I don't have a college degree yet, working toward one. And it was kind of like heartbreaking to leave, to watch Shiaki leave Nichols, because I'm heading there hopefully in a semester or in two semesters, I'll be heading to Nichols. So I was kind of hoping to have somebody else that I knew at Nichols. But then again, it's like I get to see her at her best.
Yeah.
And I get to see God literally working in the ins and outs of this business. And when we talk about faith, okay, so when I walk in, and I look around on the walls and I'm looking around at the pictures and everything taken and, you know, the logo that Shiaki designed.
Yeah.
And all I did was computerize it. You know, I do graphic design on the side.
Yeah.
And just looking at everything. And it's like, wait a minute. I walk in and I looked at the Sheik and I'm like, did you really? Who did that? Oh, I did that.
You did that.
Well, yeah, you did that. No, I know I did it. But I'm saying, but Shiaki technically did it. But it's carved out exactly like the logo.
Yeah.
So when you're looking at vision, okay, and you're looking at faith, those two actually work together.
Yes.
Now, what keeps it together is that obedience.
Yes.
Okay. So, you know, we all should be actively seeking God.
Right.
We all should actively be seeking the vision that God has for our lives. You know, so Kevin, let's talk about you real quick. Don't think I'll let you off the hook now.
Oh, no.
But let's talk about your vision and you know, how God's revealing that to you.
Well, so the thing is that I've always been a supporter. I've always been the type of person to you know, when we use the terminology serve and protect in law enforcement, I've always been that type to serve. And that I feel like that my vision is to support, you know, Shiaki in every way that I possibly can. My dreams and aspirations are, I do at some point, you know, we talked about, you know, what is franchising, opening up multiple bakeries. So at some point we are looking to expand and to get bigger. I'm not sure if you know, but I do barbecue. That's my thing. So we're looking to, I know she's looking at me funny. I'm not even going to look to the left because I know she's saying, Kevin, you know, you can't talk too much. You can't say too much. I can't say too much about it, Brandon, and I'm not. But we have plans. We have some plans because, you know, the Bible tells you that sometimes you shouldn't speak too much on things. You know, you got to keep some things to yourself. You know, so that's I'm just kind of going, I'm going to just throw that out there that we have some things in the works. In terms of barbecue, in terms of this barbecue sauce that I do as well, so just keep that in mind. I'm gonna leave that alone. I know I don't know what you write. Then
oh no,
shut up! No, that's what you said. No, she's, I'm joking. But no, seriously though. But yeah, we do. We have some vision. My vision. And like I said, with her, when we came together on this thing, finally, cause she had been, like I said, been doing this for a while now. I think her mom and, aunt and grandmother took a baking class many years ago, and that's the only form of training she got was, and that was just something for them to do together as a little hobby. I think they went out, you know, and it was like, hey, let's go take this baking class and Baton Rouge somewhere, I think y'all went anyway, but it kind of transformed into what you see right now. So I do have some dreams and some goals set, and I, you know, God and I are and my wife are working on some things, and so hopefully, you know, not hopefully, but it will happen.
It's okay to have hope.
I'm speaking into existence, really.
Yeah,
so I'm going to speak this into existence. We have some things coming. Like I said, I can't say too much about it.
All right, well, you go on and shut up now.
Yeah, I'm going to go on and shut up.
And if I can add this, collectively, and I like to communicate this as well, a lot of our church family, Joy Fellowship Ministries,
Shout out to Joy Fellowship.
We share, they've been a
Denise
part of
Beltran.
This faith walk.
She's looking at you like, Zelda shut Davis. Up now. Come on now.
Keep talking, man. I'm just giving
they've been a
out.
Part of this faith walk.
I've been on the podcast.
For some time. And there's a kingdom connection where I know it's bigger than me. It's bigger than Kevin and I. And you mentioned how it's this community needs this. And I feel to believe the feel when we were younger, there was still some of the mom and pop stores, you know, the familiar faces in the grocery stores that were small, they mm-hmm. were personable. There was still that around. And we really don't have that now. And I know to some people it's strange that they actually see me in here, the owner, but I'm working. I have the apron on and I'm dusty and, you know, like, elbow deep in flour and butter and sugar. But it's just the personal aspect of it is one of the things, like I said, reflecting, you know, God-like behavior and relationships. But we also have, and I would like to share this, we also have a desire to have a bigger impact on the community.
Yes.
With just being kind of like a cornerstone bakery. And I know it sounds cliche, but developing relationships and actually being able to impact, whether it's through a future nonprofit or something that we do, or partnering with nonprofits that already exist, but being able to give back to the community in areas of need.
Yeah.
Well, Brandon, you know this, that I'm actively working on my master's degree, so I want to begin teaching. So that part of my law enforcement journey is something that I want to tie into this bakery. I want people to be able to come in. They have questions about certain things. They can come in. They know, hey, you know, Kevin Brooks is there. You know, he has a lot of knowledge on law. He has a lot of knowledge on, you know, just community things in the community. So when she says a cornerstone of the community, she truly means that. To where you can be able to come here and, you know, hey, you need to talk to me or, you know, get some information on something or, you know, you need help on something. Domestic violence, you know, is extremely prevalent. You know, I take it very, very seriously. You're an investigator when it comes down to juvenile cases. And, you know, so if people need to come here and speak to us about certain things, whether it's marriage, whether it's domestic violence, whether it's child abuse issues. Shiaki even still does some tutoring. I won't put that out there too hard, but she does some tutoring.
I'll be calling.
I don't want to use that one stop shop thing. I don't want to use that word.
Different.
But yeah, no.
Just to establish idiosyncratic, you know, just something that's outside of the norm because
learn a new word and you can't.
Yeah,
keep
I know, right? But I know that
that's
like
our word.
Your experiences, and here's the thing: like I have many experiences and I have many gifts, and they're not just. I mean, right now we're running the bakery, but there's so many different avenues that open up to, you know, being in this space, mm-hmm. you know. And so it's more to me than just baking right now.
Right.
But like I said, just to be able to give back, just to be able to and serve the community in every aspect, not just, you know, buy this pie, get this cake slice, but how can I truly serve you?
Yeah.
I'll take a ginger cake, man. All right. So here is my question.
Okay.
And I'm actually going to drop three of the questions. And I want to ask this question. I have to ask this question. We're all black, mm-hmm. okay? So we see the ongoing fight for, how can I put this? We see the norm, I'm going to call it norm because it's becoming norm mm-hmm. due to the media. We see the norm of black people being killed by white cops. We see the norm of racism still creeping up, all right? And there's nothing but the devil causing confusion.
Right.
Mm-hmm. All right? I've said this before. I've made multiple podcasts about it. I am against Black Lives Matter movement because I don't think they're about all black lives. But I am an advocate for black lives. And yes, black lives matter. Mm-hmm. All right. So, and I don't know why I'm being led to ask this, but I'm going to ask it anyway. As a black business owner, what advice would you give to black people that want to either start a bakery or, you know, do whatever, start some kind of business? You know, do they have the means to do it, even though the media says they're oppressed?
Well, that's a good, that is a good thing. And it's ironic that you use the word oppressed. I believe that in Christ, we're all free.
All right.
So that relieves the shackles of oppression, yes, if I may say. And truly in this, like I said before, I had all the odds against me. If you look at my background, and have been able to overcome through my relationship with Christ, and I can only tell you what I know. It's the vein that I've traveled in is relying on Christ, which transcends gender, which transcends race. Provisions are made for the vision, so all of the things are not cliche; they are actual and factual. I don't have a business background. I was a math teacher. Yes, I can calculate some numbers. I can teach high school algebra, geometry, and all that trig all and all that other that good stuff. I can even teach the middle school and high school. Math and science education is my background. I am from, like I said, a single parent. My biological father was in prison for 25 years. My grandfather was worked on a cane plantation, you know, like I'm giving, this is my background. So all of those things, like I'm not far removed from it. Mm-hmm. So it's a mindset. So I know that education in conjunction with my relationship with Christ, educating myself on processes, yes, also helped to open doors.
The research.
Before.
Just
I mean,
able.
Also.
Yeah.
So also helped to open doors and putting yourself into position. So that's my advice to other Blacks. Like, you have to place yourself into position to excel. Like, and it won't be handed to you. It does require work.
Amen.
Well, faith without work is dead. So exactly. You can't have it just hoping, oh, I hope, oh, you know, somebody's going to give. There is a lot of work that I goes just, into this.
I just picture God, you know, with somebody saying, I hope that this happens. And God's like, well, get on it.
to go back to the beginning of this journey, and she did a lot of research.
Oh yeah.
I mean, like, geographical research, first of all. She could be able to tell you how many bakeries was in a certain mile radius of the tri-parish area. You understand? So understanding that it's not always black and white. It's not always a racial thing. It's not, you know, and you know, Brandon, you know me, you've been knowing me a long time, and I will speak out against things that are wrong, mm-hmm, things that are not, you know, sort of touch on that.
We're supposed to.
And in terms of the Black Lives Matter movement, I feel that it became too political.
Yes.
It's what the issue that a lot of people have with that. It became too political. If you're going to be about, first of all, Black lives, be about Black lives.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And also, don't ignore if something happens to another race. All lives matter in that aspect. I do get what people are saying about Black lives, but, you know, does Black lives matter when we respond to a call and, you know, it's two Blacks on Black on Black crime?
That's my point.
You know what I'm saying? So let's talk about Black Lives Matter, but let's talk about all lives, and let's talk about all Black lives, not just the Black lives that were lost to some racist cop. Yeah,
and I'm,
you know what I'm saying?
I'm from the neighborhood. You know, more so than him.
It's not okay. It's not okay because another Black took another Black's life.
No.
We're not going to worry about that.
Right.
No, that's not
absolutely.
That's not fair. Listen, and, you know, Brandon, you more so than I in the past couple of years, talking to victims of, you know, Black people who've been taken by other Black people. They're completely forgotten about. I refuse to forget about them. I'm not, you know, I'm at Thibodaux High, and I have to deal with a lot of students who have lost, you know, their friend, and I have to deal with that. So, you know, I'm not going to sit here and try and make excuses. You know, we have to do better. Mm-hmm. We have to do better. And again, when I talked about being a part of the community and this bakery being a cornerstone, that's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. Being able to, hey, if you need to talk to somebody, or we need to speak out on a certain issue. We have zero problems doing that.
Yeah.
You know, let's not use the excuse of, oh, because I'm black, I can't open a business. That's ludicrous, man. That's ludicrous. You know, first of all, if you have a strong relationship with Christ, like we talked about, you do your research. That's the work part of it. That's the work part of the scripture. You got the faith down. Now you need to put your work in. Yeah. And let me tell you something. It is a lot of work. Running your business, running a business is a lot of work. That's my advice to people. I see what this woman is doing, bro. This woman is up at 3:30 and 4 o'clock in the morning at 1615 St. Mary making ginger cakes, making, you know, whatever. We are closed on Sundays and Mondays. She's not off on Sundays and Mondays. She's still here. Tell you this story about this lady that came in and, you know, her son was leaving for Iraq. I think it was a Saturday.
Yeah.
And we were getting ready to close. We were literally closing, Brandon, and we had somewhere to go. We had an event we was going to. The woman came in. I thought she meant she was talking to one of the workers, and I thought she meant the following Sunday she needed a cake. I said, okay, yeah, she probably can knock you out that Saturday. And get. It was the next day, Sunday. Her son was leaving to go to Iraq. For 2 years, she wasn't going to see him. And what really hit her, Shiaki, was that the woman told her, you know, he's leaving. And I went to Walmart, and then I went to Rouse's. I went to these other bakeries, and I thought about sheet cakes. She said, and the minute I walked through these doors, I said, I have to get a cake from this lady. I have to. So she said, I know you're closing. And she must have apologized like 10 times.
Yeah, she actually said he deserves something better.
She said he deserves a sheet cake. And I just found like, I look, and normally Shiaki won't, you know, if we close and she'll close up. But she said, you know what? I got to do this cake for this lady. I have to do it. And so that's what I'm talking about. For people to come in and to share experience or share something, they've been to MD Anderson, you know, they're having, and I know it sounds, like I said, I know it may sound, you know, simple, but a cake or a ginger cake or a cupcake or something, you don't have a clue as to what that's doing in that person's life.
Yeah.
You know, like I said, we do have the anointing here, but to be able to come and just pick out something, and even at the last minute, that showed that woman love. Here's the thing. She was a white woman. Race has nothing to do with anything when it comes down to us. We do understand that there are some racist people. But I feel like, man, when you putting God first in your life, bro, Brandon, the scripture I'm always telling you, when you call me on the side, man, look, I'm just such and such, man.
All right,
What I tell you, we wrestle not with flesh and blood.
Amen.
Yes.
I tell you that. You can't. Listen, when I talked about the scriptures on the studs in here, the Bible says no weapon formed against you. So when people walk through those doors who have bad intentions, and the Bible said double-minded people, you have to be aware of those double-minded people. Because if you don't have a relationship with God, in James 4, it tell you that you will end up being a double-minded person. And that's what's going on right now in the world. But it's too many double-minded people. We're not able to think logically. You know, people will take something that you didn't say it and just run with it, and the world has become just too double minded. You know, we have set God to the side. Nobody's praying. Nobody's is trying to strengthen their relationship with Christ. But it's just, that's why I always say, you know, I don't wrestle with flesh and blood. I'm not arguing with people. I'm gonna pray for you, and I'm gonna let it go. That's that. So, you know, when we start talking about just dealing with issues in the community, because we will, and we have, and we're gonna continue to handle it the same way. I mean, just put God first and let God do it. Somebody said Sunday, just give it to God and let it go. Yeah. That's it. That's all you can do.
There's the reason that there's a cross. Okay. And the Jesus didn't die in vain.
Mm-hmm.
All right. When he says bring all of our problems and issues to him, we should do that. So, you know, as a black man myself, I have a lot of white friends. I love white people. I love black people. I love people.
I love people, period. You know? Yeah.
So whenever one of my favorite verses is Revelation 7:9, where it talks about at the end of time, how everybody, every tongue, nation, and tribe will be before the throne singing holy, holy, holy.
Yeah.
So my goal with this podcast and my work in my church, in my actual church, and then other people I meet with, my goal is to make the church that's supposed to look like heaven exist on earth.
Right. And that's good.
Will that happen? I may die and never see it. But if I know that my faith that I'm putting on display and the message that I'm teaching people,
right,
as I'm supposed to preach the gospel, I hope that I can do that in this podcast.
Yeah.
And whatever episode I come up with next. You know, we're talking about faith.
That's good.
You know, faith is the root of most of our relationship with God.
That's it.
Okay. You know, you always say, oh yeah, I found God. Did you really?
Did you really? Yeah.
Did you really? Because the last I checked, you don't find God. He already is.
Yes.
He is already present. You know, he finds you. You are the one that runs off and go, you know, handle up in your sin and, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I say, you know God, but do you have a relationship with him?
Right.
That's what I say. Right. Do you have a relationship with him? It's the difference between knowing somebody. I know Drew Brees, like I said. But do I have a relationship with him? You know, no. Yeah. One of my favorite athletes of all time is Drew Brees. I know him. See him on TV. He has no clue as to who I am.
I know. Look, I know Deuce McAllister. I actually met Deuce McAllister.
Yeah.
I ain't got a relationship with him. Wish I did.
Yeah. I mean, you know? Hey, bro, it is what it is.
Yeah.
So, but my last question, and I'm sorry I dropped those other two, but I'm glad I asked the question that I did.
Yeah.
But my last question is, do you have any advice for couples that are wanting to do business together?
Ooh, like each other first.
I didn't say that.
Ooh, you got to like them. Do you like them?
It all goes to relationship. I would say we have a great relationship.
Yeah,
we can talk about things.
It's hard, man.
And
it's really tough.
Yeah.
I need you to be encouraging, Kevin.
But listen.
He's being honest.
And I'm being, you know, in order for me to encourage somebody, I have to be transparent. And I have to lay the foundation and tell you, man, it is tough. For a couple to run a business, because I'm telling you, sometimes you see this ain't all the way. This is not always. We sometimes back there and we are at it. You know, she might throw some dough at me or something. I don't know, but
I look dusty. You gonna look dusty too.
But the thing is, we've been talking to Rodney. Shout out to Sergeant Rodney Morrison and Detective Corey Brooks. But we talked to them about delivering the cakes.
Telling you that.
we have to deliver these wedding cakes.
We need to record ourselves delivering the cake.
Oh no. Oh no. That's not going
to
happen.
We need to record.
Brandon, listen, and I know it sounds crazy, but delivering a wedding cake, say a three-tier wedding cake. Just to give you an example of a three-tier wedding cake, that may run around 60, 70 pounds. About a 70-pound cake.
Yeah.
That's a lot of cake.
Dude, listen. Okay, that's a lot of cake, right? So imagine it, putting it in the back of the truck, in the back of her Jeep, and us transporting it, say, to some venue. Maybe in Gonzales, maybe in New Orleans,
wherever. And though I'm very confident in my skill set, the structure inside of the cake is top notch.
It is
where we should have no issues.
Listen,
but Louisiana highways and byways,
Brandon,
are not
when you're
set up
transporting
to transport a cake,
a beautiful structure to some young lady's day that she's been dreaming about since she was
of her life.
A child, and I'm responsible for getting this beautiful structure into that, first of all, out of that kitchen, through those doors, load it into the back of that Jeep, secure it, and then drive it to the venue and repeat the process when we get there. Brother, that is some type of stress that they had to up my milligrams on my blood pressure. I'm serious, man. It is really stressful. So we go at it. But I know it's all love. So I guess my advice would be to where your foundation, before you open that business, you have to sit down and communicate with each other and talk to each other.
That's the key.
Understand your role.
Patience.
Oh, patience is a virtue. That's you. That's automatic. But I'm talking about understanding your role in that business.
Yes.
Even though we're husband and wife, and we are quote unquote co-owners, I know she's running the show, and I'm perfectly fine.
Understand
with that.
Understand your role.
I understand my role. That I'm not running anything here, bro. I don't run anything here. I am a helper. Okay. I am an assistant, and you have to understand your role as, and so any couple out there that's going into business, and I think we actually spoke to a couple in Port Arthur, Texas.
Oh yeah, we did.
We spoke to a couple and really nice young couple. I think they're in the early 20s. Young man's very smart. Reminds me of you, as a matter of fact, Brandon. He actually reminds me of Brandon.
Yeah, yeah.
But
I mean, I'm still single.
He was. Hey man, listen. That's for another
There's
time.
Hope.
We're gonna talk about that. We're gonna talk about that. But look, you know, we talked to this young couple and we just basically told them the same thing. Understand your role in that business. Mm-hmm. Even though you're husband and wife, you're gonna have to sit that to the side, bro.
Mm-hmm.
You're gonna have to take an order from her, or she's gonna have to take an order from you. Hey, you need to do this. And it is what it is. So in order for it to work, you have to have teamwork, obviously. You have to have patience, obviously. But you have to understand your role in that relationship.
And understanding your role is never personal.
Right.
Like if it's about your practice. It's about the process. And if you have this, if you know the vision and understand the vision, then that's understood.
I mean,
so to speak.
I would constantly pray, Lord, keep showing me this vision because I don't know. So. Well, look, it was an amazing time talking to y'all.
Yes, it was really good.
And this is my opportunity to make you guys tell us how we can find you on the social media.
You can find us on, I know we're on Twitter now. We are social media person.
Finally.
I'm still, but I don't even know how to, I have someone doing that. I can't do it all. But we're on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. Our handle is at Chic by Shiaki. That's ChicByChiaki. Our website is www.chicbyshiaki.com.
You can
find us there.
What's sad is I don't know any of that stuff. Call me on my phone, 985-387-0458.
That's your cell phone.
That's my cell phone number.
It's
a flip phone. It's a flip phone.
I think I'm gonna have to edit that out.
the business line is 985-227-7997.
Yes.
Yeah, there you go.
And our hours, we're open. We're closed on Sunday and Monday. We're open 8 to 6 on Tuesday through Friday, and on Saturday 8 to 12.
8 to 12. All right. Well, guys, thank y'all again. To my listeners, I'm going to urge you to, if you are in the Thibodaux, Houma, Bayou Blue, Gray, Schriever,
Raceland,
down the Bayou, St. James, you know, if you're from the area. If it takes you an hour to drive here, get in your car and drive your butts over here to Chic's Cakes and Confections and get you, I'm telling y'all, those ginger cakes they're to die for. I think that's all I get when I come here.
cheesecakes, caramel bundles, cheesecakes. Yeah, we have several hot items and they're all godsend. It's been a blessing.
Baked.
It's been a blessing. Yes,
yeah.
Freshly baked. I'll be at it early in the morning.
Coming, like, if you guys take me up on what I'm telling you, listeners, if y'all just come here and just get a freshly made ginger cake with some coffee, hallelujah.
Lord have mercy.
But no, thank you, listeners, for listening in. Again, I urge y'all to check out Chic by Shiaki on the social media. She is a woman of God. Her husband is a great supporter. And I want y'all to support this business. I usually ask y'all to support me, but I'm asking y'all to actually support Shiaki in this endeavor because this bakery is needed in this area. And when you walk through those doors, I am one of those complainers that come here and just dump my stress. So please check them out on the social media. I am going to put every single social media handle in the show notes so you guys can reach out to it. Any last words of encouragement?
Just, yeah, hey, man, look, go after it, man. If you, it's something that you pursuing or you thinking about pursuing, go. But remember, keep that relationship strong with Christ. That way you're not half doing your vision. You're fully pursuing your vision, and just, you know, keep God first. Keep your relationship strong with Christ, man. You know, just, you know, love everybody. Thank y'all for the support. And, you know, we're here if, you know, anytime y'all.
You have reached the end of yet another episode from The Ear. We hope that God's word remains on the ears of the listeners. We pray that this podcast would urge you to go forth and spread His good news to the world. Thank you for tuning in. Please don't forget to subscribe to our podcast. See you at the next episode. God bless you, and may His glory shine upon you.